no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show. I've got another 60 minutes of radio drama for you this week. We'll start off with Suspense this time, their episode from April 27th, 1944, titled Death Went Along for the Ride. After that, it's The Fred Allen Show and The Perfect Crime, his episode from October 19th, 1947.
Roma Wines presents Suspense. Roma Wines, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
Salud.
Your health, senor.
Roma Wines toast the world. The wine for your table is Roma Wine, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
This is the man in black, here for the Roma Wine Company of Fresno, California, to introduce this weekly half hour of Suspense. Tonight from Hollywood, Roma Wines bring you a star, Mr. Gene Kelly, in a suspense play that tells of fear and suspicion and dangerous adventure on the long highway from California to New York. And so, with Death Went Along for the Ride, and with the performance of Gene Kelly as a man named George Javery, we again hope to keep you in suspense.
Front, boy, front. You take Mr. Brown to 314?
Yes, sir.
I want a room.
The name, sir?
George Javery, but I haven't got reservations.
Oh? Well, I think we can fix you up, Mr. Javery, if you'll sign, please.
Sure.
Excuse me, friend.
Yes?
I couldn't help hearing your name, Javery.
Oh, that's right.
Any relation to Frank Javery of Cincinnati?
Oh, not that I know of.
Oh. Kind of a funny name. No offense, you understand, but I just thought, you know.
Sure, I know.
Been doing quite a lot of traveling, haven't you, Mr. Javery?
Huh?
I see all them stickers on your bags.
Oh, yes, I've been out of the country.
Room 610, 450 a day. Will that be all right, Mr. Javery?
Sure.
You going to stay in Reno very long?
Just overnight.
Going east?
Uh-huh.
You driving?
Yeah. Say, what do you want to know?
Thought I'd tip you off to a good place to eat, see? You like steaks?
When I can get them.
Better stop at Harry's place, then. Best steaks between here and Chicago. Here's the address. I wrote it down for another fellow this morning, but he left before I could give it to him.
Oh, well, thanks.
You driving back east alone?
Yes. Say, what did you say your name was?
I didn't, but it's Brown. Steve Brown.
Well, look, Mr. Brown, if you want a free ride east, why don't you just...
No. I'm heading up to Portland, see?
Oh, well. Well, have a good trip, Mr. Brown.
Same to you, Mr. Javery.
Thanks.
Don't forget to stop at Harry's place, Mr. Javery. I think you'll find it a very interesting spot. Very interesting.
Mr. Javery.
What is it?
Did you notice a fellow with only one arm?
No, where?
I didn't think you did. He said he was a friend of yours. But don't have nothing to do with him, Mr. Javery. He's no friend of yours. He's no friend of anybody. Don't have nothing to do with him.
Oh, here's your drink, Mr. Javery.
Thanks.
Oh, did your friend find you, Mr. Javery?
What friend?
One-armed fella. He was looking for you. He said I should keep my eye out for you.
A one-armed man, Mr. Javery? Why, no. There's no guest at the hotel that answers that description.
I tell you, I seen him coming out of your room, Mr. Javery. I don't know how he got in there, but I seen him coming out.
You heard me. I'm checking out.
If there's anything wrong...
No, there's nothing wrong. I'm just checking out, that's all.
But at 3 o'clock in the morning...
Look, I said I'm checking out. Now, please get my bags out to the car. Just put them in the back of the car.
Yes, sir.
Now, look, kid. for the last time. Do you know?
I don't know nothing, Mr. Jeffrey. Honest, I don't know nothing.
Okay, okay, here.
Gee, look, here he comes now.
Hey! Hey, wait a minute.
Thanks, Mr. Jeffrey.
You, going east, mister?
Oh. Oh, it's you, huh? Say, what's the big idea?
What big idea?
Now listen to me, my one-armed friend.
I can't help having one arm, mister.
All right, all right. But what's the idea of following me around? You've been following me ever since I got here.
Oh, but I'm sorry about that, mister.
So am I. Now, what about it?
Well, you see, I'm kind of down on my luck, so I'm hitchhiking. I got to get east, and I heard you were going east, so...
Oh.
You are going east, ain't you, mister?
Well, yes. Yes, I am.
Do you mind if I come along a peek?
Oh, all right, hop in. Say, there's one thing you haven't explained to me yet.
What's that?
What were you doing in my room? Hitchhiking?
I was never in your room.
The bellboy said he saw you come out.
I don't know what he said, but I was never in your room.
Oh. Well, it's kind of late to start driving, I guess.
I don't mind. I'm used to night work.
Oh. Say, I don't think I got your name.
Jones. When I'm Jones, they call me mostly.
You traveling far, Mr. Jones?
As far as St. Louis.
Uh-huh. Have you been in San Francisco lately?
No. No, I came by way of San Diego. Why do you ask, Mr. Javery?
Oh, nothing. I thought I might have seen it.
What's the matter?
How did you know my name?
Your name? That's an old hitchhiker's gag. Hang around a hotel lobby and find out who's who and maybe where he's heading, see?
Yeah.
See? There doesn't seem to be much traffic tonight, does there?
No. Are you looking for something?
Oh, just reaching for a cigar.
Get your hand out of your pocket.
I was only...
Get it out, I said.
You don't have to pull a gun
on me. No? All right, Mr. Jones. Come on, let's have it. What's your game?
Game?
Yeah, your game. Come on, spill it.
I don't get it.
Neither do I. I suppose you haven't been tailing me ever since I checked into that hotel.
Well, I explained about the hitchhike.
Get out.
Out of the car?
You heard me.
Okay. But, Mr. Javery...
What?
Don't be too surprised if you see me again sometime. Good night, Mr. Javery.
Tonight for Suspense, Roma Wines bring you a star, Mr. Gene Kelly, whom you have heard in the prologue to Death Went Along for the Ride by Henry Denker and Ralph Burkey. Tonight's adventure in Suspense.
In this brief intermission in the play, let's imagine we're listening to a conversation taking place at the Smart Coral Beach and Tennis Club in Bermuda. An American about to depart for the States thanks his Bermudian friend for the gracious hospitality shown him. In particular, for the especially enjoyable wine his friend served. He remarks how much he'd like to be able to get some of that same wine at home. The Bermudian chuckles as he says, "But my friend, that wine you enjoyed so much, it comes from the great wine districts of your own California. It is Roma wine." Yes, friends, many Americans are still not aware that Roma wines are so highly rated in many foreign lands that they are imported to be enjoyed as rare luxuries. But here in America, we can still enjoy these superb Roma wines as a daily pleasure, well within reach of the most modest purse, with no high import duty, no expensive shipping costs included. That's why Roma wines cost you so little. Have you been overlooking the enjoyment these richly satisfying Roma wines offer? As a delectable beverage at any time? As the addition that can make any meal an occasion? As a sure-to-be appreciated offering to your guests when you entertain? You get some idea of the great worth of these fine Roma wines when you learn Roma wines are America's largest selling wines. I'll spell the name for you. R-O-M-A. Roma Wines, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
And now it is with pleasure that we bring back to our soundstage our star, Gene Kelly, as George Javery in Death Went Along for the Ride, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
All right, put him up. Come on, get him up and step out in front of those headlights where I can see you. Come on, before
don't
I let you...
shoot, mister.
Well, what do you want?
Not to get shot, right now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Kind of jumpy, aren't you?
Yeah, maybe. Were you going into this joint here?
Well, I was.
Well, come on, I'll buy you a cup of coffee.
I think I earned it at that.
Well, howdy, folks. Good to see somebody. I'm kind of late, eh?
Yeah. Black coffee, huh? How about you?
The same, I guess.
Look, I'm sorry I frightened you. Say, what's your name?
Eileen. Eileen Harrison. What's yours?
George Javery. Say, what are you doing walking along a million miles from no place at this time of night?
I started driving east in the $50 jalopy yesterday like a fool. It just fell apart on me. I was coming in here to phone or something.
Oh, how far east are you going?
Greenwich, Connecticut.
I'm going to New York myself. You're welcome. I mean, if...
Well, I...
Oh, look, if you don't like me, you can always get out and start to walk again. What have you got to lose?
Well, all right. Thanks.
And I could use a little company right now.
Oh, there you are. Piece of pie? Piece of pie, bud?
Huh? Oh, no.
How about a hamburger? We got good hamburgers, you know. We got...
No. Just be quiet a minute, will you?
Be quiet?
Yeah.
What's the matter?
Shh. Shut up, another two of you.
Sure, anything you say.
Say, what's the matter with you?
I'm listening for something, that's all.
What?
There he comes.
Hey, where are you going?
That wasn't it.
You know, what's going on, bud? You hot or something?
No, there's a car out there. It's been following me for the last 200 miles.
Yeah? How'd you know?
I know it. I took a side road. He did, too. I tried to duck him, and he hung on. He kept following me. I'm sure that... Listen, that must be it now. He's not coming in. He's waiting.
For what?
Me. Look, Eileen, here are the keys to the car. Go out and drive it up the side entrance. I'll be waiting at the door.
All right.
No, go ahead. He won't hurt you. Hurry.
Okay.
Hey, mister, you ain't in trouble, are you? I don't want no trouble in my
place. Keep your shirt on. You'll be all right. Here.
Don't you want your change?
No, keep it.
Hop in. I'll slide over.
Thanks. Look back now, dude. Seriously, that other car follows.
I don't think so. Say, look, pal, I don't want to be nosy, but...
Eileen, I wouldn't kid you. I don't know what it is. Is anyone following us?
No, I don't think so. Uh-oh.
Lights.
Well, that doesn't necessarily mean it's someone following us.
No? How fast are we going now?
About 60.
All right, watch.
Hey, please, be careful, George.
I'll be careful. Is he coming?
Uh-huh, I think he's gaining on us.
Yeah, I thought so. Well, we'll see how much this guy wants to play.
He had a pretty big car, you know.
Yeah, I know. Is he still gaining?
He's closing up pretty fast.
Oh, I can't stand this much longer, and I'm going to do something about it.
What are you going
to
do?
I'm going to pull to one side, slam on the brakes, and see what happens.
George!
I'll force him into the ditch if I have to. It's what he's trying to do to us. Hang on.
George! He's passing! We've got to hit him!
I'm trying to!
Oh, he's going to turn out!
Come on, let's get out of here.
He must have been killed.
Yeah. Did you see him as we hit?
Just for a second.
Did you notice anything about him?
Not much.
Well, I did. He was a man with only one arm. Well, this is that Harry's place that guy told me about. You sure you like steak?
Who doesn't?
Well, this is the place for you, then. Finest steaks this side of Chicago, they tell me. Come on.
Table for two, sir?
Yeah, please.
Right this way.
The whole thing amounts to this.
Right here. Here's a nice table right by the window.
That's fine, thanks.
And, madame?
Thank you.
Two steaks, please. Both medium rare. All right?
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
George, to get back to our little problem.
Our little problem?
All right, so it's your problem and I'm stuck with it. Are you sure you don't have any enemies?
How could I? I've been out of the country for over a year. I didn't have any when I left.
Well, could there be any connection with that work you were doing with the Chinese government?
Oh, not a chance. Well, look, I don't know any secret plans, and I'm no agent X9. Well, all that's out.
Well, maybe it's all just a coincidence.
Oh, sure. One-armed guy tags me all over Reno, then says he's a poor hitchhiker. Then he acts like he's trying to pull a stick up, and then 100 miles beyond where I've dropped him, he shows up in a big Cadillac. Just a coincidence.
Call for Mr. Javery.
George.
Telephone for Mr. Javery. Call for George Javery.
Yeah. Another coincidence.
What are you supposed...
I don't know, but I'm going to find out.
George, don't.
Come on, we'll both go answer.
Are you Mr. Javery?
Yeah.
Well, that's good. They've been trying to reach you all day.
All day?
Yes, this is about the 10th call we've had for you. The phone booth is right this way.
One little coincidence after another. Calling me all day at a joint I've never been in before in my life.
George, don't answer it.
Now, look, you just keep an eye out while I'm in the booth.
All right.
Pardon me.
Why, of course.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
Can I help you, sir?
Why, yes, I had a call on this wire, but...
I'm sorry, but your party seems to have disconnected. Did you call them?
No, forget it.
What was it, George?
Come on, let's go out to the car.
Well, what was it?
I don't know. Whoever it was, as soon as I answered, they hung up. Come on. Come on, there's a guy following us. The guy I bumped into at the phone booth. Oh, that's what that phone call was for. Get in the car, quick.
Here he comes.
Oh, Mr. Javery.
George is pointing something.
It's a camera.
Thanks, Mr. Javery.
Hey, what's the idea of taking pictures of me?
It's a hobby. I'll send you a print at the morgue.
George, have fun. This is one of the really bright spots of old Chicago.
Yeah, a little too bright.
Ladies and gentlemen, we present, direct from 10 weeks run in New York, the world-famed sharpshooter, Professor Glidenheimer.
All right, George. He's good. I saw his act in Hollywood. He's quite a comedian.
Well, that's swell. A little comedy had come in handy now.
Oh, George, you promised me. Come on, relax.
Okay.
He shoots at the light bulbs, and whether he hits them or not, they always break.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, blindfolded.
He didn't even aim at it.
Sure, that's the point. Later, he's going to shoot straight up and the bulb in the back of him will break.
And now over my shoulder, the left shoulder. No, it's the right shoulder. That's harder yet.
It's funny, isn't it? George, your glass, it's shattered.
Come on, Eileen, we're leaving.
Please, ladies and gentlemen, please. Performance will continue. Keep proceeding, please. Please,
wait, sir. Don't leave. I'm terribly sorry. Won't you stay and finish your dinner? Please, sir, our apologies. A most regrettable accident.
Yeah? Only it wasn't.
Wasn't?
Wasn't an accident. That comic up there shoots blank cartridges.
Well, of course, but...
Yes, and what broke my glass was a bullet. And it didn't come from the stage.
$1. Thank you.
Good old Bear Mountain Bridge. Well, we're almost there.
Yep. With any luck, we ought to be in New York by 10 o'clock.
And the way you've been driving, I don't see how anyone could have followed us.
Oh, why do you think I was driving that way?
Gee, it's a beautiful night. Look at that moon.
Yeah. Let's stop a minute.
Why?
Oh, I don't know. Just to look down at the water.
All right.
It's been a long time since I've seen the old Hudson River. I guess I better turn off the lights. I'm not sure I'm allowed to stop in the middle of the bridge.
Come over here by the rail, George. Gosh, isn't it lovely?
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. Oh, look at that boat down there. It looks a little... I wonder how far it is down to that water from here. Oh, I guess about 150 feet or so.
I'm awfully glad you decided to come this way. Why did you?
Oh, it's less traffic and not as many cars as on the George Washington Bridge or the tunnel, and, well, there's less chance of being spotted.
You still thinking of that?
Well, it's kind of hard to forget, isn't it?
Just the same, I wish you would. It's not doing
you. Look.
What?
It's a car, and it looks like it's going to pull up behind us.
George,
I don't know, but if some monkey's looking for trouble, he's going to get it because I've had enough.
What are you going to do?
Now, look, I'll crouch down in front of the car here where he can't see me. He'll pull up behind us so his headlights will be on us if he's up to anything funny.
Now, he's beginning to pull over now.
Now, look, okay, you talk to him. Stall him, then we'll see.
All right, but George...
Hey, don't you know you're not allowed to stop in the middle of the bridge?
Why? I just stopped a minute to look at the water.
You alone?
Why, yes.
I thought I saw a man standing here with you just now.
No.
There's a California plates on your car, ain't there?
Yes, I just drove through from the coast.
You pick up any hitchhikers on the way? Anybody that looks like this?
Like what?
Like the guy in this picture.
Well, that's the picture someone took at...
I thought so. All right, sister, where is he?
Right here, bud.
George, look out, he's got a gun.
Why, you... Now, let's see how good you are without a gun.
George, the railing, he's trying to throw you over. He's... George!
Come on, kid, let's go. Well, we made it. Home at last.
Home? This is the Bancroft Hotel.
It's the only home I ever had in New York.
Boy, take these bags. Now, sir, if you leave the key, I'll have your car garage for you.
Yeah, sure. Here.
Thank you.
George, I could go home, you know.
What?
Travel out to Connecticut this time of night?
It isn't that far.
Come on, you get a good night's rest right here. Then you can catch an early train in the morning.
Well, all right.
Yes, sir. You'll wish a room then, sir?
Two rooms, please.
Yes, sir. Will you sign here, please?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mr. Mr. George Javery.
What about it?
Nothing, sir. Only we have your reservations.
Reservation? But Oh, I get it. Another coincidence.
Sir?
Skip it.
George.
Eileen, look, maybe you're right. You better go on home.
George, you're coming home with me.
I'm sorry, Eileen, but this is journey's end, and I'm going to see it through.
Well, then, so am I.
Eileen.
Please, George.
Okay, come on. Well, what do you know?
What?
Our friend sitting over there by that post.
The man who took the picture.
Yeah. Last act coming up. Oh, clerk.
Yes, sir.
What room do I have?
706, sir.
That's fine. The lady?
Yes, sir. Room 614 for her. Front boy.
This way, Mr. Javery.
Going up?
Six, please.
George, shouldn't you call the police or something?
And tell them what?
All right. I don't know.
Now, look, honey, you get a good night's sleep, I'll be okay. I mean, after all, this is New York.
Six out.
Good night, darling.
Good night.
Seven.
It's right this way, sir, to the left. Here we are, sir.
Just put the bags over there, son.
Will that be all, sir?
Yeah. Here you are.
Thank you, sir.
Hello, George
thoughts, Avery.
Took you longer than I expected.
Brown, a man I met in Reno. What are you doing here?
Waiting for you. The name ain't Brown, that's Javery.
Javery?
Yeah, George Javery. Javery, I can't thank you enough for what you've done for me.
What I've done for you?
Sure, you've been a great help.
All right, let's have it.
Look, Javery, you've come to the end of the road, but I think you're entitled to know why. You don't know me, do you? I'm Bill Malone.
Oh, Scarface Malone.
Yeah, only I don't have scars anymore, see? That's the point. Took me 2 years and a lot of pain to get a new face. And I didn't get it just to look good in a coffin. Know what I mean?
No, I'm afraid I don't.
After a guy in my business has been away for a year or two, he's not always welcome back, see? And he generally finds out about it with a bullet in the back. That's why you struck me as a good idea.
Oh, I did I?
Yeah. I don't believe in taking chances, see? The boys thought I was coming east under the name of George Javery.
Oh. So the one-armed guy and all the rest...
No, he was one of my boys. You were kind of rough with him, Mr. Javery.
Well, he wasn't exactly playing beanbag himself.
Jerry, he wouldn't hurt you. I just sent him to tell you so I'd have a line on where you were. After you dusted him off, it was just a break for me that you went to that steakhouse. Otherwise, I might have lost you.
A candid cameraman, too, I suppose.
Yeah. After I lost Jerry, I figured I wouldn't take any chances. Send a picture around to the boys. Like the guy that took a pot at you in Chicago. And the guy you tossed over the bridge. The boys that were out to get me, see? Only they didn't know all the time it was you. No chances, know what I mean?
Yeah, only I can't exactly say I'm glad to have been of service. So if you drop that gun, I'll go.
Not yet, Javery. There's just one thing more you can do.
Yeah?
Stand over by that window.
What for?
Stand over there and drop your hands. Boys wouldn't quite understand it if you had your hands up.
The boys?
Yeah. The ones I've been telling you about. When I pull up that shade, they're going to take a pot shot at me through that window. When they do, they'll get me. Only it'll be you. They'll never know the difference. Now, over to that window. They know you're already here, so move.
You don't mind if I sort of stroll, do you? After all, this is a surprise.
Come on. Over to that window.
And if I don't?
I'll plug you.
And if I do? You see, Malone... That's the trouble with your system. No incentive. You know what I...
Don't make a move.
George, is anything wrong? George!
Get over there in that corner.
Don't hurt her, Malone.
Just gonna lock the door, that's all. Taking no chances, see?
Then here's some light so you can see what you're doing.
What are you...
George! Oh, George!
Oh. Oh, it's all right, Arlene. It's all right, darling. Well, there lies our nemesis, the late Mr. Scarface Malone. Otherwise known as the guy who never took chances.
But he's dead.
Yeah, yeah, smart guy. But he made just one mistake. He forgot that the door is right in line of fire with the window.
George, what are you going to do?
I'm going to call the police and explain this little drama to them. After all, I think it's about time people stop taking pot shots at your future husband. Don't you?
And so closes Death Went Along for the Ride, starring Gene Kelly. Tonight's tale of... Suspense. Mr. Kelly appeared through courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of The White Cliffs of Dover.
When entertaining guests at your home, are you able to go into your aroma wine cellar and say, which would you prefer, this delightful sherry or this sweeter, heavier port? Whichever of these or any others of the many equally fine Roma California wines you offered your guests, they would find you had poured a world of satisfaction into their glasses. If you are not one of the millions already enjoying these good Roma wines, don't put off this great treat another day. You'll be surprised at the tiny cost your Roma wine dealer will ask for such great enjoyment. Only pennies a glass by actual check. Now you can boast of your own private wine cellar, your private Roma wine cellar. And then, inspired by the great qualities of Roma wines, you'll add your voice to the swelling international chorus that says, Roma wines are truly magnificent. Let me repeat the name, R-O-M-A, Roma Wines, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
This is Gene Kelly. I hope you enjoyed our suspense show this evening. I always feel that it's a pleasure and privilege for me to appear here because most of us who act for a living consider this to be radio's outstanding theater of thrills. Next week, I know you will want to be listening when your star will be Mr. Orson Welles, who will appear in The Dark Tower, a play written by those two very distinguished gentlemen, Alexander Wolcott and George S. Kaufman. And now just one more word. Fellow Americans, the attack for victory is on. You help make the victory more certain and bring it sooner when you buy more war bonds.
Suspense is produced and directed by William Spear. Next Thursday, same time, you will hear Orson Welles in Suspense.
Presented by Roma Wines, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Margarine and Tenderleaf Tea present The Fred Allen Show with Fred's guest, Mr. James Mason, Portland Hoffa, Minerva Pius, Peter Donald, Parker Fenley, the DeMarcos, Al Goodman, his orchestra, and Kenny Delmar. Here's one of today's shopping problems easily solved. Just remember this.
If you're worried because your children aren't eating enough vegetables, because you realize how important vegetables are in a well-rounded diet, listen carefully. You can now give your children the goodness of 8 different vegetables in a delicious drink they'll love. Just give them V8 vegetable juices. V8 is one of the most enticing drinks that's ever been concocted. And here's the important thing. Every tempting sip of V8 contains the goodness from 8 different vegetables. Tomatoes and beets of the red variety, lettuce, spinach, watercress, parsley, and celery of the leafy green variety, carrots of the yellow variety. Thus, when you serve V8, your children get both the goodness and variety of 8 different vegetables. Get V8 vegetable juices tomorrow. Give it to your children for lunch, dinner, between meals. They'll love V8, and it's really good for them.
Gentlemen, statistics show that today American colleges are crowded worse than ever before. Tonight we present a man who never went to college, and he still has no class. He's Fred Allen.
Thank you. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. In Portland, I heard your news scoop at the opening of the program there about the colleges being jammed.
Oh, Mama says it's a good sign.
Colleges being crowded is a good sign?
Mama says if enough people go to college,
they'll get smart.
Everybody will know what Philip Morris smokers know.
You really? Now, you mean in just the 4 years you could acquire that? Huh? Say, I wonder how many packs of Philip Morris's you have to smoke before you know it all. Well, Portland, I should have quit when there was nothing going on. Well, Portland, apart from food conservation, what is in the news this week?
Somebody invented a meat substitute. It's called a Truman Burger.
Oh, I saw that. A Truman Burger. I saw that.
I wonder how they make a Truman Burger.
Well, I don't let this get out, but I got the recipe from Charlie Luckman. This is the recipe for the Truman Burger. The president puts 2 slices of bread on the piano, and then he plays 1 meatball.
Funny. Today, food is so important.
What's funny?
Well, they used to throw it at actors.
Well, that's what chased Jack Benny out of vaudeville, you know.
Food?
When they started to can it.
Speaking of Jack reminds me. Did you hear Jack Parr this week?
You mean the mad, mad thing?
Uh-huh. He said you were so old, Boy Scouts had to help you across the street.
Well, I hope that got a better laugh on Pa's program where he could...
He said you were mad at the younger generation.
Well, Brother Pa may be a member of the younger generation, Portland, but he's telling the older generation's jokes. But enough about the male Joan Davis. This is getting to sound, you know, the East may fight the West before this. This is getting to sound as though the program was coming from another network, which it may any minute, the way it looks. I think I had better start for Allen's Alley.
What is your question tonight?
Well, this week, as you may have read, the Better Business Bureau is completing its 25th year of service. Thousands of cases of fraud in real estate, stocks, and other get-rich-quick schemes have been prosecuted. And so our question tonight is, have you ever been swindled by a disciple of sharp practice?
Shall we go?
As the man said when his wife grabbed his money at the racetrack, you bet. Here we are back in Allen's Alley, Portland. Senator Claghorn's gavel is on the front steps. I guess he doesn't give a rap tonight. Well, let's knock.
Who is it calling on old Senator Claghorn? Oh, it's you,
well,
son.
Senator.
Speak up, son. I gotta hop to it. I'm busier than a pump handle during a temperance picnic. I'm writing a book.
Writing a book?
Senator Wiley of Wisconsin wrote a book called Laughing with Congress.
Yes?
My book's called Chuckling with Claghorn.
Chuckling with Claghorn.
I got one joke in my book. It's about the farmer. His land was so poor, he had to spread it with fertilizer before he could raise a fuss on it.
Well, you mean
that's a belly whopper, son.
Well,
start hooting and hollering.
Yeah?
Lean against something and watch your buttons pop.
Now, wait a minute. Look, Senator, about this fraud business, have you ever been swindled?
Well, son, back in 42, I was rooked to a fare-thee-well by the slickest flim-flamming Tom Pepper that ever wore sideburns and bear grease on his hair.
Well, how... This is one man you're describing, then. How did he cheat you, Senator?
I was running for office. This thimble rigger says, Claghorn, if you want to get in, I'm your man.
He could fix the election?
I had a ballot box with a fire going in it and built-in votes.
A fire?
As they was deposited in the ballot box, a fire burned up all the other candidates' votes.
And the built-in votes?
They was all for me.
You couldn't lose.
I was going in like Happy Chandler at a ball game.
Fine.
I bought 200 ballot boxes with the built-in vote from this jackleg.
Yeah?
The day of the election, something went wrong.
With your fake ballot boxes, you didn't go in?
I went in, son.
Yes?
I went in for 30 days. So long. So long, that is.
Probably explains the senator's pallor. Well, I wonder if Mr. Moody's still up.
Howdy, Bob.
Tell me, Mr. Moody, have you ever been the victim of a fraud?
Why, only once.
What happened?
Well, one time I had to go up to New York to buy some new sport jackets for my scarecrows. Well, I was gimping up Broadway with a big wad of money in my shoe.
Uh-huh.
And a fella wearing a checkered suit and a jazz bow tie, he pulled me into a doorway.
I see.
He says, Charlie, how'd you like to have security in your old age?
Security, huh?
Yeah. He says, Charlie, how'd you like to own your own toll bridge?
Your own toll bridge?
Yeah. When they're coming across, he says, Charlie, they'll be coming across for you.
You you fell for it?
Yeah. I took off my shoe and I give that oily cuss all my money.
For nothing?
Well, he gave me a blue uniform, a whistle, a rocking chair, and a collapsible turnstile.
A turnstile, eh?
Took me to a bridge. It was uptown, 175 streets.
Why, that's the George Washington Bridge.
Named for president.
Yes, it was.
I set up my turnstile, sat back in my rocking chair, and started blowing my whistle to collect my tolls.
What happened?
Why, cars kept shooting by me. Nobody stopped to pay nothing.
You were on the New York side?
Yes.
What did you do?
Well, when I closed up my turnstile for lunch, I walked to the other end of the bridge.
Uh-huh.
And I seen right away what the trouble was.
Well, what was the trouble?
Three fellas with turnstiles at the other end was collecting all the tolls.
At the Jersey end?
And it only goes to prove...
To prove what?
If you're thinking of opening a toll bridge across the Hudson...
Yes?
Don't open up on the New York side.
You mean the money? The money is all at the other end?
Yeah. People will pay anything to get out of Jersey. So long, Bob.
Well, Titus has something there, and he's sure welcome to it. Well, let's try this next door. Mrs. Nussbaum, have you ever been involved in a swindle?
Only once.
Uh-huh.
Like a greenhorn, I'm getting hoodwinked.
Well, how?
I'm seeing advertised a contest.
Uh-huh.
Write a jingle, win a cash prize.
Oh, do you write music, do you?
Mostly ballads.
What are some of your ballads?
It shouldn't be nothing fancy. Just a little grass shack on the Lancey.
I see.
I am sending you best wishes with this little dish of knishes.
Very.
And then I wrote...
Then you wrote?
A herring, a hacienda, and you.
Oh, that sounds... Well, tell me, what about this jingle contest?
I am writing, remember the letters F-N-E for Farfel, Noodles, and Epstein's Tea. Lindy's Restaurant saves all three. Farfel, Noodles, and Epstein's Tea.
Tell me, what happened when you mailed in your jingle?
Monkey business is ensuing. Mine jingle they are taking.
Someone stole it?
They are altering abyssals.
Well, how do you know?
Tonight I'm turning on mine radio. I'm hearing, remember the letters F-N-E for flavor, nutrition, economy.
Now, wait a minute. Wait, why, that's a direct steal. What program was it?
Who knows? Just as I'm listening, you are knocking on my door, thank you.
That brings us to the little shanty at the end of the alley.
How do you do?
Mr. Cassidy, you look tired.
Oh, I was up all night at the UN. I talked with Vyshinsky for 8 hours.
What could you possibly talk to Vyshinsky about?
Oh, we had one thing in common.
One thing?
I couldn't understand Vyshinsky.
And?
Vyshinsky couldn't understand me.
Well, tell me, Ajax, have you ever been the victim of a hoax or a swindle?
Well, no, not personally, me boy, but a friend of mine was homogenized through the mail.
Homogenized?
The milk of human kindness was soured in his veins.
Who was this friend?
Dr. Prentice McGee, the famous surgeon.
Oh, I've heard of him. What happened?
Well, a nefarious operator of a bucket shop in Rockville Center.
Yes?
He sold Dr. McGee, sight unseen, a Texas oil well.
Well, where did the swindle come in?
Well, the minute Dr. McGee bought the oil well, he started receiving urgent telegrams collect from Texas.
Important messages?
Oh, the first one said, send $2,000, Derek fell down.
The next?
Send $3,000, drill is bent.
And then?
Looks like a gusher. Send $5,000, need barrels.
Well, after the doctor sent all this money for his well, what happened?
With the suddenness of a crescendo, the telegram stopped.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, the doctor called in the FBI.
Yes?
The well was non-existent.
So the doctor lost $10,000 in the phony well.
Oh, sure it served him right.
How come?
A doctor should take care of the sick and let the well alone. Good night.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, a few hints for assorted weather.
Rain or shine the year round, the all-purpose, always appropriate beverage is delicious Tenderleaf tea. And the way to get even more pleasure from it is in Tenderleaf tea balls. That's why Tenderleaf tea balls outsell all other kinds. They are America's favorites because they are better in every way. The best part of it is that all these advantages are so practical in daily use in your home. The flavor of the tea comes first, of course. And that's famous for flavor Tenderleaf brand tea. Richer, more fragrant, more delicious. The crisp, clean, white individual packets are tasteless filter paper. That gives you convenience, efficiency, ease in serving, and flawless, crystal clear tea in your cup, filtered as it's made. Keep a supply of these better tea balls on hand for every occasion, for family meals, for guests, and especially for those dark blue days when you need quick comfort in a hurry. One Tenderleaf tea ball in your cup, boiling water, and there you are. Yes, for every good reason, ask for Tenderleaf brand tea ball.
Please say, Portland.
Yes?
Will you keep things going until they get the horses set up on the Manhattan merry-go-round? Where's my beret and my bamboo cane?
Are you going out?
Yes, I have to run over to see James Mason. I've written a movie for Mr. Mason. You know, it may be his first American picture.
How did you ever get James Mason to go into your picture?
Well, if you won't let this get out, I'll tell you. Last Tuesday, I finished writing my scenario, and I started over to the Mason apartment. This must be the place. I guess Mr. Mason is at home, too. This sign on the door says, Odd Man In. Well, I'll knock, see what happens.
Hello, Fred.
Well, James Mason. James, I haven't seen you since you were on my program last June. What have you been up to?
Well, I spent a very nice summer out on the island.
On the island? Long Island?
Coney Island.
You spent the entire summer at Coney Island?
Yes, it was thrilling. Thousands of people milling around on the boardwalk. Millions of people sitting on the sand and on each other.
Did you go into the water?
They have water there?
Oh, yes.
I must tell my wife. She will be surprised.
Oh, yes. Some Sundays at Coney Island, it's so crowded the tide can't even come in. The tide has to go over to Far Rockaway and come in twice. But tell me, what else have you been doing?
I attended the World Series.
An Englishman at the World Series? Did you like it?
Yeah, I've never heard such music in all my life.
Music?
Yes, Guy Lombardo's orchestra. Excellent. And the way that Lucy Munro sang your national anthem, it brought me to my feet.
It did, really? What happened after Lucy finished singing?
Oh, a lot of chaps in bloomers started running around. There's no more music, so I went home.
Well, tell me, while you were in the park, did you try one of our American hot dogs at the park?
No, no. To me, a hot dog on a roll looks like an Indian's finger lying in state.
Didn't you eat anything at the World Series?
As I was leaving the park, the whole Brooklyn crowd was yelling, Cookie.
Cookie? And you didn't turn back?
I never eat dessert, old boy.
Well, James, I'll tell you why I'm here. Now, you haven't been working lately, have you?
No, not in pictures, but I've been on several radio programs.
Oh, really? What programs?
Well, I appeared on Take It or Leave It.
Well, how did you make out?
Just as I was about to try for the $64...
Yes?
Some chap in the audience shouted, You'll regret it.
You tried for the $64?
Yes.
And what happened?
That chap in the audience was correct.
You regretted it?
I also regretted the giant jackpot.
You regretted the jackpot? Tell me, were you on any other programs?
I'm going to be on another program this week.
Oh, with Jack Eigen?
No, I haven't. Haven't come to that yet. It's a little thing called information, please.
Oh.
I'm worried about answering those questions.
Oh, it's nothing, James. I've been on information, please, 10 times, and I don't know anything.
Yeah, but with me, it's different, Fred.
Different how?
I'm stupid.
Well, look, James, if you want to be able to answer every question on that program, why don't you try my system?
What's your system, Fred?
When I'm on information, please, I go to the studio 10 minutes early. I walk in, hang up my hat, go over to the guest table, sit down in a big chair, lean over to John Kieran, and I say, John, what do you know? Well, by the time John Kieran gets through telling you what he knows, you can't miss a thing on that program.
Thanks, Fred. I'll try that.
Well, now let's get down to business, James. I have written a picture for you.
Now, I'm only good in certain types of stories, Fred.
Well, I sense that, James, and my picture is definitely for you. It will be bigger than I Married a Zombie.
What's the story about, Fred?
Well, the picture opens with a fanfare.
J. Arthur Allen Pictures Limited presents James Mason in
The Perfect Crime. I am Norbert Nottingham, known to Scotland Yard as Nobby the Narc. Sitting here in Old Bailey waiting to be hanged, I cursed the fate that sealed my doom. I had planned the perfect crime. Something went wrong. What? That day at home, after I'd worked out my crime in detail, I rang for my faithful houseboy, Chung.
Oh, you ring of Mr. Nottingham?
Yes, Chung. Sir Stafford Pipps, the inventor, will be here any minute.
Oh, very good.
When he comes, Chung, I want you to go out into the garden and peek through the window.
Oh, very good.
Chung, I'm going to kill Sir Stafford. When the police arrive, you will be grilled. I want you to say that you saw Sir Stafford come in, place a paper on the table, take out a gun, and shoot himself. Do you understand?
Oh, Chung, recap. Chung go outside, peek in the window. Police grill Chung. Chung say Sir Stafford put paper on desk, take out gun, and shoot self.
You won't forget.
Not a China month of 10.
My alibi was perfect. I knew I could depend on Chung. There was that little affair at Limehouse he'd rather I didn't mention. Three o'clock. Sir Stafford would soon arrive. He was bringing the plans of an invention that would make me the richest man in the world. Someone was at the door. It was Sir Stafford.
I'll open the door, Mr. Nottingham.
Gad! I thought it was the maid's day off. It was too late to turn back. I had to commit the perfect crime.
And now, King Sir Stafford Pipps.
Oh, Nobby, old fig.
Sir Stafford, old prune. Have you brought the plans?
Righto. This is my greatest invention. Here are the plans.
I'll take those plans, Sir Stafford.
I say, Nobby, put down that gun. Ah!
The perfect crime had been committed. The plans were mine. Quickly wiping off my fingerprints, I placed the gun in Sir Stafford's hand. The maid opened the door.
Mr. Nottingham, I heard a shot.
I know.
Blimey, it's Sir Stafford.
It's suicide. You better call the police.
Righto.
I chuckled as I heard the maid on the telephone.
Operator, help! Police, suicide!
I laughed as I heard the police on my radio.
Summoning all vehicles. Summoning all vehicles. Calling Detective One Long Pan. Suicide at Norbert Nottingham residence. Calling One Long Pan.
Oh, greetings and shulamalakam, kiddie. Detective One Long Pan, Oriental Dick Patrice on job. Chababa, chababa, chababa. Long, long pan, sure to get you, lover. Chababa, chababa, long pan, and good voice tonight. Make Perry Como take Bromo. Long pan. Long pan.
I say, old boy, will you stop that singing?
Who are you, little man?
I am Norbert Nottingham.
What do you do here, Mr. Norbert Nottingham?
I live here.
Very good. You have $2. You like to try for four?
This is ridiculous.
You look at it. Oh, look at it. Long time solve crime in no time. What is, confidentially, what is Clive?
The Stafford Pips has been shot.
Very good. Long panel is you, Mr. Norbert Nottingham, for shooting Sir Stafford Nips.
The Stafford shot himself, you nincompoop. He committed suicide.
Suicide. Likely story.
Oh, Mr. Nottingham.
Oh, ho, lady in the loom. Long pan, cherche la flemme.
Don't be silly. This is only my maid, Martha.
You come a little closer, baby. Long pan give you fast frisk.
Take your hands off me. You ain't no osteopath.
You fess up, Martha. What happened?
I was in the kitchen cleaning a bloater. I was just reaching for the bloater's appendix when I heard a shot.
Very good.
I ran into the study. Sir Stafford's deader than me bloater. He's done himself in.
Precisely. Now, can I show you to the door, Long Pan?
Not so fast, Mr. Nottingham. Long Pan first examine body. Oh-ho, you see in Sir Stafford's hand?
What?
A la wallowa.
A la wallowa.
44. You bet. Long Pan arrest you again, Mr. Solberg Nottingham, for murder. Sir Stafford, who's it?
But I tell you, I didn't kill him. I can produce an eyewitness.
Who is eyewitness?
My houseboy, Chung, he saw everything.
Oh, you lying, Mr. Nottingham?
Oh, ho, China boy, Lanceman.
Oh, before.
Lanceman.
Hey, Ding Ho.
Ding Ho, oh. Ding Ho.
Fui Mong Me Fu Ting Tong.
Fui Fong Ling Long Mugu Gai Pan.
Hey, Mugu Gai Pan, Ding Ho Fu.
Hula Ma.
I told you I had a perfect alibi, Long Pan.
Long Pan, not entirely convinced. Story sound like bloater, practically fishy.
What did Chung say?
Chung say you sent him out to tend the garden.
That's right. I have two meat-eating plants. I told Chung to put napkins on the plants before he served their lamb chops.
Very good. Chung, you in garden? What you see in garden?
Chung peek through window, so Stafford come in and study.
So Stafford, very good.
So Stafford put paper on this.
Very good.
So Stafford pull out gun and committed suicide.
There's my alibi, Long Pan.
Holy smoke. Chung, you see plenty through window.
Oh, you bet.
Oh, Chung, some kid, oh, peeking Tom. Chung, Long Pan make had live. Long time funny bunny should be on radio. Get the big hooper. Get the big hooper. Okay. Break it up. Pipe down, boy. Joke over, boy.
What's wrong, Long Pan?
Long Pan, unless you, Mr. Nottingham, third and final time for murder Sir Stafford Hips.
But why should I kill Sir Stafford?
This plan on a table. Long Pan, only now, just now, catch on. You see, plan X equal Y plus double root divide by Z multiply hypotenuse, plug in, whoa, you see, plan for super duper a magnet.
Dad, you understand it?
Long Pan, no schmo. Long. Long Pan graduate CCNY. Magna cum laundry. Long time fly by night beta kappa. You fess up. Motive magnet.
Yes. It was to be the biggest magnet in the whole world.
Very good.
Pointed from England in the direction of the United States, the magnet would have drawn all the gold out of Fort Knox.
Holy smoke. Holy smoke.
Sir Stafford was giving it to Ernie Bevan for Christmas.
How about you, Mr. Nottingham? You kill Sir Stafford to use magnet catch him gold yourself. You plan, you long time catch you fess up.
But what about my alibi? Chung saw everything through the window.
Chung say nothing. Alibi, phony baloney.
You mean?
On window is Venetian, you see, Venetian blind. To look through Venetian blind must see through straight crack.
But Chung...
China boy, Iceland.
Impossible with slanting eyes to look through straight glass underneath the bar.
I give up, Long Pan. You're too much for me.
Confucius say man who use Venetian blind for alibi, shady character.
Confucius spell backward, Joe Miller.
Oh, ho, Long Pan, hot tonight. Can you top this? Long Pan, oh, ho, Long
Pan. Before I remind you to remember Blue Bonnet Margin and Tender Leaf Tea on your shopping days, I want to thank Mr. James Mason for his visit tonight. Next week, our guest will be our good friend, Jack Haley. Thank you and good night.
Good night.
Thank you.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. I'll be back next Tuesday with more. Between now and then, you can find past episodes of this show, more from Suspense, more from Fred Allen, and more old-time radio, all at relicradio.com. There's also a link there to our Shoutcast stream and our donate button if you'd like to help support this and all the shows. Your donations make this all possible. Thanks, as always, to those who have helped out. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next week with another episode of the Relic Radio Show. Relic Radio Show is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.